Talk to you about traffic and how traffic is impacting Herbert Field. I will say up front, we are not unusual. It is not impacting us any more, any less than the rest of the community. We are part of the community, and we understand we are part of the problem as well.
It's a very interesting, and I know it's a little traffic-centric in the last hour or so, but, you know, traffic is obviously a major part of our lives, and this is a different slice of the issue. This is Colonel Kristen Wood from the Air Force Special Operations Command at Herbert Field talking to the TPO yesterday about traffic around Herbert and why it matters. And I found this really interesting because, for example, she was talking about what are the main three missions of Herbert and how does any of that relate to traffic?
We have three missions at Herbert Field, and I'm just going to talk in kind of broad categories. Our first mission at Herbert Field within the 1st Special Operations Wing is campaigning. And that is campaigning against great power competition. You probably heard about it in the news. We are focused on China. We are focused on Russia. We are focused on Iran. We are focused on those great powers, those near peer conflicts that we want to be ready to fight. So that's the first one.
China, Russia, Iran, major world conflict between the U.S. and our near peers. Mission two.
The second mission at Herbert Field within the 1st Special Operations Wing is contingency operations. That's what we've been doing for the past 20 plus years. That is what I've been doing my entire career. That is in the Middle East. That is fighting Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, ISIS, all the terrorist organizations that we have been combating for the past 20 plus years. So those are the two of the three missions at Herbert Field.
And she says those two missions are very predictable from a logistics point of view.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm a logistician by trade. From a logistics standpoint, those missions are fairly, they are predictable. They are, I don't want to say easy because nothing's easy, but they are on a timeline. I know today when our forces are going out to prosecute those two missions in October. I know when our forces are going out tomorrow. We can plan on that. We can predict that.
October, I thought that was fascinating. So they're already planning how things need to be ordered, you know, fueled, weapons need to be able to be loaded onto planes, personnel, you know, maintenance for the Ospreys, maintenance on the Spookies, the C-130 that, you know, shoots down the air suppressor, the suppressing fire support for fire missions when you got troops on the ground, you know, the special operations commandos, all of that stuff. A lot of that stuff is knowable in advance. There's a third mission that is not knowable in advance.
Third mission at Herbert Field is where traffic comes into play, and that is our crisis response mission. So we have an alert mission at Herbert Field that focuses on crisis response. Again, keeping it in broad categories, we get called out at a moment's notice to support a soft ground element to either save Americans from bad places or kill bad guys that are threatening Americans. That mission goes out incredibly, incredibly fast. Again, I'm a logistician by trade. I've been doing this job for 20 plus years. I have never seen any wing that has to launch their aircraft faster than Herbert Field, faster than the 1st Special Operations Wing.
And by the way, when she says supportive soft forces, she's not saying soft. She's saying special operations forces, you know, what you'd think of as special forces or commandos or whatever. And this can be anywhere, right? This could be to Venezuela, Argentina. It could be into Mexico, Cuba. I mean, not typically do we fly these missions into Mexico, but hey, if somebody takes the embassy, you know, or there's some Americans at risk on some bus somewhere that necessitates a deployment, you know, or we're trying to deal with, you know, cartels or something like that, or they need to go to the Middle East or to Africa or to Asia or to wherever. She's saying they deploy very, very quickly. Like, this is not something planned out in advance. You know, it's like the fire's going off, call all the firemen in, get them to the field, get them to the house, put them on the Ospreys and go. That's the idea.
What that means and where our concern is when it comes to traffic is if we get the call from our joint partners when they need air support to go out and either save Americans or to go out and kill bad guys that are threatening Americans, we need to be able to get our forces to Herbert Field to generate those aircraft, to marshal that cargo, to process the personnel to get them off the door or get them out of the door, get them off the ramp. Our concern is if we get that call and there's an accident on Highway 98, or there's a backup on Highway 98, or it's spring break, school's in session, whatever it is, and we can't get our guys from west of Herbert to the base to generate those aircraft and launch them, we're going to miss those timelines, which means we're going to miss supporting that joint force. And I'm sure many of you probably have military service. You know a ground force is not going to go out with their air support element. So that means that ground force is delayed. That means saving those Americans and saving those and killing those bad guys is delayed. So that's really where we get concerned about travel.
The whole issue of the logistic capability of Hurlburt to get the forces at a moment's notice across Highway 98, inside the perimeter, get them loaded up and ready to go and fly the planes or get on the Ospreys or get on the Spooky or whatever and go do the mission. That's what they're talking about. And as you heard her say, when there's traffic problems on Highway 98, it interferes with their mission. And this is not just a training mission. Training missions are important. Whiting Field and NAS Pensacola training missions are very important. This is a save lives and kill bad guys. This is a right front. You don't think of Hurlburt as front line, but it really is. So how do we solve this? We'll come back to it in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
This traffic report is brought to you by ECU Way. We are looking good. Besides that one accident mentioned earlier on 9 Mile Road and I-10, be wary of that. There is no roadblock, so we should be good to go. If you are on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze is flowing smoothly, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. If you do see anything we should know about, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you're buying a home or selling a home or building a home or, you know, just really thinking about it, like you've been renting or you've been living with your parents and, you know, life changes, you're able to buy and you're thinking about it, all of these are reasons to call Christina Leavenworth. Look, she and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 175 homes last year. They are very, very good at this process. So if you're selling, obviously they can help. But if you're buying too, because they know the sales side, they know how to help you on the buying side. They know what's the property going to go for, how many people are going to bid, what can you negotiate on, what can't you negotiate on. And if it's a new build, hey, you know, will they work with you? Will they buy down your points? What other things can they do to make it happen? Or you're dealing with a hard circumstance like passing of a loved one. You got to deal with the estate or a marriage is breaking up and you got to handle the divorce and the real estate. I mean, these are all things that she knows how to handle. Give her a call, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. So back to the discussion about traffic and Highway 98 and the impact on Hurlburt. And, you know, they want to help. They want to do whatever it takes in order to make this situation better.
We want to do what we can to help the community ease traffic on Highway 98. Absolutely for quality of life, absolutely for safety. But really what we get significantly concerned with is our ability to respond to those crisis response situations where we're trying to launch our alert package. That's where we really want to do what we can, weigh in where we can to support the community, to help the community ease traffic.
So how can we solve this? Well, she said there's kind of two and a half solutions that are in the works right now to kind of maybe make this work better. And we've talked about them previously on the show.
As many of you are tracking the collector road behind Florosa School District. That's going to take some of the traffic on 98. There's also an effort to develop some, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but collector road through Navarre. What we want to do working with Eglin is seeing where we can come across the range. There's some range impact on that, but we're working very closely with Eglin and with the range group at the DOD level to see what we can do to bring that road across Navarre. We're also working closely internal to Hurlburt Field and internal to the One Sow to start the process to build a back gate. And that would be able to bring traffic out of Hurlburt Field, get it off that front gate that connects directly into 98 and connect it into that collector road behind Florosa.
Now, I'm not so familiar with the Florosa side of the solution, but I know that getting traffic off of Highway 98 in general would alleviate congestion. And if they can then, you know, the folks from Hurlburt who live west of Navarre can use the Navarre parallel bypass community connector road and go up 87 to a new entrance there that would go across the Eglin Range using some of the existing roads there into a back gate to Hurlburt. That we've talked about that before. That would be a great solution. Now, I know there are also a lot of challenges with these solutions, but if she's talking about those as the ones that might work, then great. Because again, this is the place where they respond to major incidents right now. 23,000 people work on Hurlburt, and getting the people to their jobs when those jobs are time sensitive is the difference between life and death, success and failure of missions that the United States needs to engage in.
Navy's mission in our region, both Whiting Field and Pensacola NAS, is primarily a training mission, right? But the and while there is a training mission that happens at Hurlburt, really they're the tip of the spear, right? It's time sensitive. So traffic has become extremely painful for that area. And while it is a base that the front gate is in Okaloosa County, and correct me, we're talking 70 to 80% of the airmen on that base live in Santa Rosa County in the Navarre and Midway Gulf Breeze region.
So being able to do that mission critical stuff on time, that's what they're talking about finding solutions for. That's Colton Wright, the chairman of the TPO, also the District 5 commissioner in Santa Rosa County. And again, it is different from NAS Whiting Field, where, you know, it's inconvenient if there's a traffic problem getting to Whiting, but it doesn't, you know, ruin the mission, so to speak. NAS Pensacola, same thing. Training missions are all over the base, but, you know, they're not calling in gunships from NAS Pensacola. That's not what they do. You know, or, you know, sending off the Hornets to fight. We send off the Hornets to fly in the flight demonstration, or we train people on how to be backseaters for the two-seat platforms that the Navy flies. But they're not going from there to Norfolk across the ocean to land on a carrier to fly bombing missions. It doesn't work that way. That is what they do out of Hurlburt Field. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Like I said, I thought that was valuable because, you know, gave me a better picture of what Hurlburt does. It also gave me a better understanding of, you know, what's the motivation for fixing certain of these traffic issues. Yes, getting people to and from work is important. Yes, making traffic safe is important. And yes, getting people to Hurlburt on time for their ordinary day jobs, that's important. But being able to logistically get people onto the base when they got to, you know, spin up the planes and get in the air and go do things to other people across the world, that's mission critical stuff. And if we support the military, we got to believe that that's an essential thing to protect. 437-1620, that's my phone number, 437-1620. Speaking of things that go up in the air, if you need any kind of drone footage done for you, or you need any kind of comprehensive video production service done for you, Pelican Drones is great at this. Now, I know it sounds like all they do is aerial photography. That's not, okay? I mean, they do that for construction projects and homes and pre- and post-hurricane, whatever damage assessments, that kind of stuff. But also, if you've got something to sell, like a boat, or you've got something to market, like a restaurant or a business or a vacation rental, they will come do the video production for you, ground-based, air-based, anything else, and then they'll produce a spot. You know, if you need a 40-second spot and a 20 and a 10 and a 4, they can do all of that, and then you own it when they're done. And they do this for some major clients here in the area, but they'll work with anybody of any size. Pelican Drones. Find out more at pelicandrones.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice. Get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Tell you why, but this is probably my favorite Beastie Boys song. I just find it so entertaining and humorous, and it sounds cool all together. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy has got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are looking green on all the roads this morning. If you are coming in from Pace and Milton on Highway 90, you are good to go. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. And not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. If you do see anything that we should be reporting, please call or text our traffic tip line. That is at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Three people were shot at a Ramadan event in West Philadelphia yesterday. Police say there were hundreds of people gathered at the event at a park. Five people have now been arrested. Today marks the end of the month-long dawn-to-sunset fasting of Ramadan. An arrest warrant has been issued for Kansas City Chiefs player Rashee Rice in connection with that high-speed crash in Dallas, Texas. Rice was driving a Lamborghini that crashed March 30th. Investigators say Rice and another driver were speeding and caused the chain reaction crash involving four different vehicles. Rice previously said he accepted full responsibility. He's now wanted on charges of aggravated assault and other charges related to that crash. And Disney defending its decision to fire actress Gina Carano from The Mandalorian. In a court filing earlier this week on Tuesday, Disney filed a motion to dismiss Carano's lawsuit and said it had the constitutional right not to associate its artistic expression with Carano's speech. Carano, of course, sued Disney after she was fired for a social media post comparing the treatment of conservatives to that of Jewish people in Nazi Germany.
Oh, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:27 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. A couple of news notes out of the Board of County Commissioners in Escambia County. This is one.
Yeah, Commissioner, the Sunset Island Restoration Project.
Is that the official title?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sunset Island.
It sounds good to me.
Right. That is moving along.
Okay.
And you should see something very soon on that.
Okay. And what will that be? That will be an allocation just to start the planning?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll be your discretionary funds to start the design work.
Remember, this is the Chips Kirchenfeld, Natural Resources Director. No, that's Tim Day. Anyway, this is one of the, maybe Assistant County Administrator now. Anyway, talking about this Sunset Island plan, and you hear Jeff Bergosh's voice there as well. That's the plan to stop dumping the dredge, dirt, soil, sand onto that sort of backyard of the houses over on Perdido Key, and instead dump it out in the water to the west of the Sunset Grill, where there's already a couple of islands, and to make those islands basically bigger and more of a recreational area, and then also have that sand available to do beach renourishment, because it's very, very close to transport it by a basically a tube across to the Perdido Key beach side of things over there in the future. So this is actually a really good plan. I like this idea. We've talked about this a couple of times, so to see that coming along is good. Also, a bit of good news, Mike Kohler.
Today, Wes was probably the smartest guy out there, but I don't see Michael Rhodes. But him and I were battling to be the worst disc golfers in the county. They opened up the disc golf at Lexington Terrace, and there were a lot of people out there. It's the only 18-hole disc golf run by the county. They have one out at UWF and one out at Blue Angel. But it's a huge hit. That park's getting more and more traffic all the time, and I want to just thank Mike Rhodes so much for that and the work done by Parks and Rec. So good job, and Wes, I'm glad you didn't throw a disc because I sucked at it.
If he'd have thrown a disc, he might have thrown a disc. Anyway, no, this is actually really exciting because until fairly recently, you pretty much had like just the nine holes at Hitsman or you had the UWF course, or you had to be a military to get onto the Blue Angel course. The one in Gulf Breeze is really nice. It's a little bit dangerous if you're a new player because you can lose a lot of distance in the water down there. But we have been building ones. You know, Milton has built one. There's a little short course over on PSC right now. And then this is very cool, a full 18-disc course over Lexington Terrace Park. That's a great amenity to have in that area because that is a massive, massive park. And to be able to have disc golf that anybody can access, that's a nice amenity.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden meets with Japan's Prime Minister Kishida Fumio and Philippines President Fernando Marcos Jr. today at the White House. Prime Minister Fumio addresses Congress this morning. He was hosted at a state dinner by the President and First Lady last night.
Join me in raising your glasses to our alliance, to our friendship.
Today's summit is meant to project unity against threats from China. There's storm damage from Texas to Florida and more rough weather in the forecast today.
After a destructive day of flooding, hurricane force winds and tornadoes over the Gulf Coast states, expect to see the risk of large hail, very strong winds, heavy rain and isolated tornadoes for the southeast, the Ohio Valley and mid-Atlantic. The northeast will be impacted Friday and Saturday with more flooding concerns, high winds and severe weather.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. Weather's delayed the start of the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia until 10:30 a.m. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 at 63 right now. Looks like that sun's starting to come out here in Pensacola. And the big storms that moved through the area yesterday, good news, no fatalities, no injuries reported after all the severe weather.
Like we probably had some straight line wind damage. There's multiple reports of trees down. We did have some trees down on some structures, but no injuries that were reported in.
And that is Escambia County Emergency Manager Travis Tompkins. Reports similar in Santa Rosa County as well. Minor flooding reported in both counties. At the storm's peak, about 2,000 people were without power across our area. Florida's governor has now signed several bills into law that he says will protect kids. One of those crafted to stop the grooming of kids online.
I mean, this whole online stuff is a major, major cesspool, and even the most diligent parent is not going to be able to do it alone. And so we're stepping up to say, don't even try to do that in Florida. You are going to face significant consequences if you do.
Governor Ron DeSantis there, he signed a total of 5 new bills into law. Another bill was inspired by the story of Gabby Petito, who, of course, was killed by Brian Laundrie after a domestic incident in Utah a few years ago. That bill will require law enforcement officers to train on creating a lethality assessment after responding to domestic incidents. Well, it looks like days could be numbered for the Pensacola Motor Lodge. The city purchased the motel earlier this year. They'd been looking into ways they could use it for affordable housing. According to the News Journal, the city has now received 2 letters of intent to develop affordable housing at the site. However, both of those proposals would demolish the current building and build new affordable housing apartments. The Pensacola CRA did vote this week to begin a 30-day advertisement period for the property that would allow the city to negotiate with anybody who submits a proposal during that time. It looks like there's flood warnings in effect for both the Perdido and Escambia rivers after yesterday's storms. The rivers are expected to enter flood stage later today and experience some minor flooding through Saturday. The rivers are expected to be back below flood stage by this weekend. The agency taking the lead on dealing with homelessness here in our area says they're making some progress in their effort to create a new governance board. It's part of an effort to align opening doors of Northwest Florida with the federal government's strategic plan to reduce homelessness by 25% by 2025. One of the new once that new board is created by the agency, they say they'll begin looking for a new executive director as well. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida is the Pensacola area's official continuum of care organization. They coordinate with the federal government to address homelessness issues here in our area. And it is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s. Jimmy, what are you seeing out there?
We are all green besides a vehicle crash with roadblock. If you are on Avalon Boulevard just north of I-10, please use caution. There's a vehicle crash with a roadblock. Other than that, I-10 and I-110 are all looking good, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah and no delays on Burgess or Olive. If you do see anything we should be mentioning on this traffic report, just please contact our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I am Jamie with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing some clouds throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up near 73 degrees this afternoon. Temperatures overnight dropping near 55. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 76. Friday night temperatures dropping near 55. Beautiful sunny weather continues into the weekend with temperatures staying mid to upper 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And looks like beautiful blue skies right now in Pensacola. We've got 63 degrees in Pensacola, 63 in Gulf Breeze, and 1 degree warmer, 64 in Milton. Your next news at 8. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Vertex Pharmaceuticals has announced it will buy Alpine Immune Sciences for about $4.9 billion in cash, gaining access to the biotech firm's treatment for an autoimmune disease of the kidney. The regimen is in mid-stage development for the treatment of IgA nephropathy and will be evaluated in a late-stage trial in the second half of this year. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy has pledged to continue cost-cutting while the company invests in new growth areas like artificial intelligence. Under Jassy, Amazon has morphed into a leaner version of itself by initiating the largest layoffs in its history by cutting more than 27,000 jobs in the last 2 years. Amazon has let go of employees in its cloud computing, Prime Video, and Twitch live streaming units, among others. Futures are moderately lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials dropped 422. The NASDAQ lost 136. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Or is there any additional items from council that would like to be added? Mayor?
Yes. I'd like to add a discussion of the finance chairman. Mike Kuzak boards that, so I'd like to have a discussion.
Councilman Snow, would you please explain again the item you want to add about Councilman Kuzak?
Yeah, he's the finance chair. So basically, with the things that have occurred this past week, I think we need to discuss him actually leading and being the chairman of the finance committee.
So it's always more out of Milton, and I understand the more in this case. Remember at the city council meeting this week, you had two votes of censure against Mayor Heather Lindsay in absentia because she's off on health reasons of some kind, and they voted to censure her and then send a letter, to give Alex Andrade the power to craft questions to ask the attorney general about what can be done about her behavior based on the report from before. Then you also had, remember the Ethics Commission deal that's in the offing for $1,500 penalty against Mike Cusack for disclosing information that he was privy to as his member of city council in the negotiation with Scott Collins that they said was an ethics violation of him helping somebody else by disclosing that information. So Jeff Snow says, you know, a guy who's going to work against the city financially in a negotiation situation probably shouldn't be chairing the finance committee. Mike Cusack reads a statement.
I thought I was fulfilling the job the council tasked me with when they voted for me to negotiate with Mr. Collins. Undoubtedly, I didn't understand the full ramifications of what the negotiation should entail. I will use this knowledge moving forward. I intend to continue to do my best to represent the cities of citizens of Milton.
And Jeff Snow says, you let the city down.
I think he's let the public down. He's definitely let the city down. So that's why I don't believe he should be on the finance. Again, I stand by my statement I read. Well, there's a lot more than just understanding there, so I would request that.
Would you like me to read it again?
No, I understand what you said. Thank you.
Ah, yes, Mr. Congeniality, Mike Cusack. And Jeff is willing to get into it as well. So Alex Andrade, who, of course, is not just a state representative, but in here is his capacity as a lawyer. He is the city of Milton attorney. He explained what Mike Cusack did.
Publication of a report of investigation by the Florida Commission on Ethics, an advocate's recommendation, the attorney's recommendation on behalf of the Commission on Ethics, and also the release of a stipulated agreement, pre-probable cause, joint stipulated agreement, signed by Councilman Cusack. The findings of the advocate's report and recommendation that Councilman Cusack admitted to being true is that regarding the salary disclosure, the facts presented reflect that Councilman Cusack not only attempted to sabotage the negotiation process that he was only to collaborate with the city attorney on, but he also disclosed proposed salary information to Collins that was to remain confidential.
All true, all in the Ethics Commission deal that has yet to be fully ratified by the Ethics Commission. It's the preliminary report, but Mike Cusack has agreed to this, and as you heard him say, he's not disputing any of it.
The basis of Councilman Snow's proposal is based on the fact that Councilman Cusack has admitted to revealing confidential financial information to benefit a private individual when negotiating against the city solely to benefit them financially. And from my perspective, it will always be a concern if an individual member of council ever presents to an outside individual that they have the authority to bind the city in a contract, share confidential information with an outside individual to benefit that person individually.
Because, by the way, part of the kind of the statements in the text were that he could control the negotiations and get the outcome he was promising Scott Collins. Like, unilaterally, he had the power to do that, or he had the power to persuade counsel to do that. He could guarantee that. That's kind of what Alex is getting at.
And then repeatedly, for more than four meetings, lie about what occurred, and for nearly a year, refused to provide public records to the city. The Commission on Ethics made a point in both their report of investigation and advocate's recommendation to note that Councilman Cusack has still not provided a full record of his communications with Mr. Collins to the city.
Correct. He's still not disclosed all the public records to the people who have requested it of him. And it's more than just that.
Did it make the statement of what he was, how that was, the sabotage was set up? Like he was...
Yes, Councilman. He disclosed confidential information regarding salary, proposed salary or salary concepts that were supposed to remain confidential between myself and him. He presented himself to Mr. Collins as having the ability to bind the city in the contract. He encouraged Mr. Collins not to accept any proposal sent to him by me. He indicated to Mr. Collins not to let me know that the two of them were communicating. other findings that aren't in the report are that on July 20th, on July 25th, on July 31st, on August 8th, Councilman Cusack insisted that he did not reach out to Mr. Collins, that Mr. Collins reached out to him, despite the fact that his records, the ones that he has disclosed to the city, show that he was reaching out to Mr. Collins.
Yeah, he was saying that last summer repeatedly. I remember that all happening. By the way, the term sabotage was the one used by the Ethics Commission preliminary review. It was not something invented by Alex or Jeff.
I think of specific concern are some of the text messages that he has refused to produce to the city, showing that he was leading Mr. Collins to believe there was a conspiracy to undermine him, that I was part of some conspiracy, and reassuring Mr. Collins that if I tried a backdoor play, he'd be able to quash it. I find it offensive. I find it abhorrent. And I would be stunned that a city would allow someone to present themselves as the finance chair after the actions that occurred are shown and admitted to by Councilman Cusack.
All of which makes sense to me based on what happened. I agree that the analysis is sound.
Just asking for the finance, honestly, I think, Mike, for the accusations you put our attorney through, and I know you probably won't do that, but I think you should resign. I make a motion to remove Mike Cusack as the finance chair.
So what happens next? We'll tell you in a moment. 7:46 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We have got our typical morning congestion heading west on 98. And on Avalon and Delmont Street, just north of I-10, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock. So please use caution. Other than that, we've got I-10 and I-110 looking good. If not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City, Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah and Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. If you do see something on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. By the way, I know we're having some issues, particularly on the stream this morning, and I'm so sorry about that. I've let the engineers know, and some degree over the air. This is one reason why having the podcast available is always nice. You can go back and listen to the show later if you want to. Go to newsradio923.com. I know you shouldn't have to listen to it twice, but if you want to, because you want to hear it in more detail, that's always available to you. Okay, so Jeff Snow, councilman, has now moved to, he said he thinks Mike Cusack should resign, but that's obviously not going to happen. So he says he at least ought not to be the chair of the finance committee because of all of these misbehaviors. Now, Pam Mitchell is going to try to talk about this. The background context you need to know is that this was an add-on item, so it wasn't on the regular agenda. Now, they did announce the add-on at the beginning of the meeting, and the way that Milton has restructured their meetings recently is you do not get to talk during the meeting from members of the public like most of our other commissions and councils do. You can talk at the beginning on any item, including what's on the agenda. After that, it's no more public input for the rest of the meeting. And then this happens.
Any questions, discussion, or second?
I'll second it.
Second. Ma'am, there's no public input, ma'am.
Well, I think there's a problem here because this wasn't...
No, ma'am, there's no public input.
Well, this wasn't a...
Ma'am, would you like to leave?
No, I don't.
Well, I've made it clear there's no public input, ma'am. That means you can't continue to talk.
This wasn't addressed in the public workshop.
It was not.
No, it was added.
It was not, but it was added by the council who voted.
There's not going to be a First Amendment right for public redress when something is added. This is what we talked about.
Ma'am, please sit down. I understand what you're upset, and I understand what you're saying, but there's no public input.
What's happened here is there's been a complete one-sided... Well, then come carry me out. There's been a complete...
Can I have the chief remove Ms. Mitchell from the chambers, please?
This is wrong.
Ma'am, I've asked you politely to sit down. We made this clear at the beginning of the meeting.
Well, there needs to be a way for us to have redress each time.
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying, ma'am.
But you don't get to say it anymore. So Chief Tyndall was in the hallway, got called in, and I actually talked to Chief yesterday to make sure I had the account right because the video doesn't show it. And he basically said, you know, hey, can you come with me to the hall? And she's like, okay. So it was a very low engagement interaction. So this is one of these rare opportunities where I get to agree with Pam Mitchell. Almost never do, but in this case, she's got a point, and the point is this. This is why you let the public talk about the agenda items through the meeting. Because if you've got generally speaking, it's a better practice. But also, if you've got an add-on and you just got maybe told a little bit about it and you haven't had a chance to research it, how do you know whether you want to speak about this or not? Well, the reason you let people speak, especially on an add-on item, is because they didn't have a chance to even have public notice that this was coming. So I think it was a mistake not to let the public talk, and I think that's something they ought to look at a little bit differently in their rules for order, for especially for add-on items. But I don't like the idea of not letting the public talk during the agenda also. I think that's a mistake. So, I actually agree with her that she should have had a chance to speak, or anybody else speak, about the question of whether removing Mike Cusack from the from being the finance chair was a good decision or not. I think otherwise, actually, Casey Powell, who was running the meeting, did a fantastic job of running the meeting. I mean, really, really great job. That one point I would disagree with him on. So back to the what are they going to do about it? Well, Marilyn Farrow, who is Mike and Heather Lindsay's ally on the council, she's a council member.
Councilman Cusack has paid a penalty, and I've always believed that the consequences should fit the...
Use the word.
The...
What's that word you're looking for?
Situation.
The situation? The consequences should fit the situation. Well, we found him guilty of a situation. That's right. The Ethics Commission is levying a $1,500 fine against him, if they ratify it, for his willful commission of a situation. You can tell she was so awkwardly avoiding trying to use the term crime or sin or ethics violation. But, you know, crime is the one that naturally comes to mind. It's not technically a crime, or at least it hasn't, you know, nobody's filed it as a crime and nobody's adjudicated it as a crime. But I just thought it was funny. She's like, the punishment should fit the what now exactly?
Situation.
Okay. Anyway, so she goes on and says, look,
he's already received a punishment. He still appears to be the most qualified person to handle, to work as a financial liaison with the city. He has a lot of experience in that area. And I think you can see by the questions he brings to our city manager and the things he brings up to all of you that he should remain in that position.
And Jeff Snow's like, what?
I mean, do you understand what he really did, Ms. Farrow? Because... he was trying to sabotage and what the city, he's supposed to protect the city's interest. He was going just the opposite of that. And he was able to plead with down to one instead of some of the other ones. So he doesn't have to resign from this council. I think he should, but that's my opinion. But when it comes to the facts, he is found guilty of sabotaging the negotiations, and so you're okay with that and for him to stay in his financial chairman? Yes or no?
Well, I believe she's...
I've made my point.
So that's a yes.
You understood it.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's a yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't do anything. He just did a...
situation.
So, So they voted 6-1. Mike Cusack abstained. I don't think he needed to abstain, honestly. I think he... I could be wrong. I mean, it's not a position of personal benefit per se, but I mean, I think it was probably the more noble thing to do to abstain, but I don't think he'd be legally required. He can't really ask the attorney in this situation, although Alice would give him a fair answer to that question. But he did abstain, and they voted 6-1 to remove him as the chair. And the whole issue of already receiving punishment, well, yeah, but you then have to act accordingly, right? You know, I may not punish you anymore, but I don't think you're entitled to this particular benefit. Now, here's where this all got, from my point of view, particularly compelling, because Randy Jorgensen, who almost never says a lot of things, remember, Heather Lindsay has been accused of perjury and a whole lot of other things, exceeding her authority and all kinds of other stuff. Mike Cusack has agreed to a plea deal in which he misused his information as a city employee for the benefit of somebody else. And then, as Alex explained, lied about that repeatedly over the course of time. And so Randy Jorgensen says...
I don't have a report, but I feel somewhat compelled to comment. Mm-hmm. I and I think members of my staff are a little disenfranchised.
Working every day to move the city forward.
We have to overcome objections by some who are opposed to some of the progress that we're making.
And that's a challenge, and, you know, disagreeing with people is not pleasant.
A lot of times the positions aren't a lot of fun.
The job is not a lot of fun every day. And this is the part particularly that caught my attention.
But having said all that, you know, they have to look hard at people who we are to admire and respect, and at times question why. That's really tough to do.
It's really tough to have to report to the city council containing members that you are supposed to respect and trust and find that you cannot. This is my decoding of Randy there, because he's not the kind of person that will say that way.
So I would ask all of you and the work that you do each day on behalf of the community that you consider the fundamental principles I'm sure you were all raised with. Please. I mean, I've told my staff for quite some time, if I catch you knowingly misleading, lying to the public, I'll dismiss you. Let's adhere to that standards regardless of who we are when we sit at this dais and the work that we do each day. Thank you. That's all I have.
Can y'all please do what your parents taught you and just tell the truth, please? Please? So, yes, the events of the city of Milton continue to be captivating, entertaining, Russian novel-esque, and the best Mexican soap opera on Northwest Florida Radio. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McCain. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are pretty backed up on I-10 from Highway 90 all the way to 29, so please be cautious of that. And on Avalon, just north of I-10 on Del Monte Street, we have a vehicle crash that is still backing up traffic. And on Scenic Highway and Olive Road, there appears to be an accident. No road block, but please be cautious of that. Looks like typical morning congestion coming in from Gulf Breeze. And other than that, I think we are looking pretty good. If you do see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. On the News Radio Garden Line, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
They should be around here somewhere.
Oh, man. Just... I would say it's the Milton City Council. It's not really the Milton City Council. It's a couple of people, okay? It's a couple of people. And their conflict with a couple of other people. And then some of the members of the public, too, are often involved in this stuff. But as David has been talking about all morning, and yesterday, too, there's just lot of news out of Milton. And like I said, this is one of those cases where something actually changed because of the conversation, as opposed to just being everybody bickering with everybody else.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.